Weekdays, 10 Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on this college football Saturday, Labor Day weekend. And we've got a jam-packed show this second hour. We're going to have a conversation in a couple of minutes here with Steve DeBerg. Of course, 18 years in the league, twice with the Tampa Bay Bucks. And, of course, Barry Smith, former Tampa Bay Buck, Green Bay Packer, Florida State Seminole. Of course, he is our unofficial producer as well. And then we're going to talk live from Penn State and West Virginia, our own Alex Reba, the Axeman. Then about 12:40, we'll be talking into the Big Nasty. Barry Smith's going to help us out there. Basically, this second hour is produced by the one and only Barry Smith. And Brad Richardson in the house. We'll be talking high school sports. Of course, we are the Body Armor High School headquarters down here at Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill. And I tell you what, young man, if you're a Bucks fan, the next two conversations are going to be an absolute blast. This Steve DeBerg, I saw him play at Arrowhead Stadium. I saw him play in Mile High Stadium. And he had an 18-year career. And he's kind enough to join us with his good friend, Barry Smith. Good afternoon, gentlemen. And thanks for taking time to join us from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I know, Steve, you are up in North Carolina. Barry, you holding down the fort after you got all that water on your golf course?
Yeah, we're doing okay. We came out okay. By the way, I was at Ferg's last night watching the Georgia Tech Louisville football game because Disney and Spectrum, I guess, they're in a spat and they blacked out the game. So anyway, but we're all good.
Steve, how are things in North Carolina? Say hello to your old buddy Barry.
Hi, Barry. Yeah, Carolina's. I'm here outside of Asheville, hiking and sightseeing and having a great time.
You know, I was last week. You can't beat those cool temperatures at night when you're up in the mountains. But Steve, I really appreciate you taking a few moments on this Labor Day weekend, and you know, going over your bio, 18 years in the league, San Jose State graduate. Did you ever think when you left San Jose State that your career would length almost last two decades? And some incredible organizations that you were blessed to play for, and they were blessed to have you as part of their team.
No, I really didn't. You know, I only played my senior year at San Jose State, and you know, I did well, but I was fortunate to get drafted in the 10th round by the Dallas Cowboys, and actually, what happened was, Roger Staubach took me under his wing and started teaching me all kinds of stuff, you know, that a professional quarterback has to handle and the way to prepare and study and perform, you know, things like controlling my eyes and, you know, things like that. And I tremendously improved while I was only with the Cowboys at training camp, and then I signed with the San Francisco 49ers, and then I was fortunate again to my third year to have Bill Walsh come to the team and the head coach, and I took tremendous leaps after that, and you know, so it really wasn't expected. I didn't think I was going to make it from the very beginning, and was very fortunate that everything that kind of had to happen the way it did for me to even make it in the NFL. Yeah, so I was very fortunate.
You know, Steve, then you joined the Denver Broncos, and that was the beginning of course, you had Dan Reeves at the helm then. I think I mentioned to you in a text the week before that I was at the game when you started, and they brought in John Elway, and then you made your migration to Kansas City, and I actually saw you play there. You've had some great coaches to mentor you and almost like a intern process, and then have your own success and then to stick around for 18 years. Very amazing, my man.
Yeah, I had Tom Landry, then Bill Walsh, then Dan Reed, then I went to Tampa from there, and had John McKay, and then I went to Kansas City, and Marty Schottenheimer was an amazing head coach. Then I came back to Tampa and had Sam Weich, and then in my 17th year, I started off with the Bucks, and then Marino got hurt. And so I went to Miami and had Don Shula. So I had, you know, a list of Hall of Fame, you know, coaches, head coaches. And, I was so fortunate during my career to be exposed to those people and learn from them.
Barry, tell our audience how you two hooked up and remained friends from day one now.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, it's all about golf. And of course, we have this organization called the NFL Alumni, and we started meeting through some of those NFL alumni meetings and tournaments and all that, and we've become dear friends. I love Steve's attitude because one, he's with the great career that he has had. There are certain individuals that it goes to their head, and you know what I'm saying, and they develop a certain attitude. And Steve has remained very grounded. He's one of the guys, you know, whether you played 1 year or 20 years, you know, he treats to the same, and he loves his family. And Steve, I think you ought to tell some people, you have some really exciting news that recently came through with your family.
Well, recently, last week, I was in Raleigh, and my daughter-in-law, my son was in Singapore with a job, and he met his wife, Vietnamese, and then they came to the United States, and just last week she got her citizenship, you know, and so I went to that ceremony, you know, where they swear them in and all that stuff, and then last Thursday, actually it was Wednesday, my grandson turned six, so I have two grandkids. 6 and 8, and I spent as much time as I possibly can with those people, and so it was a really fun week. And then I drove to Asheville and met up with my girlfriend and her two daughters. So that's this vacation. So it's a really, really great trip.
Nothing like family, as Barry Smith always says. Hey, why don't you share with the audience where you grew up? Did you grow up in California, and that's how you ended up at San Jose State? Talk a little bit about that, and then I'll have Barry ask you a couple questions.
Yeah, so I grew up in Southern California. You know, I was a beach boy. Grew up on the beaches, and actually in high school, I didn't play. I was on the football team. And I was a backup offensive center until I was a senior in high school. And then my senior year, they actually asked me to try out for quarterback. And so I did that and did really well. But my main sport in high school was track. I was a big time pole vaulter. I was actually, my senior year in high school, I was the number two pole vaulter in the state of California.
That's what you and Barry and I have in common. We all love the great sport of track. Number two in the state of California in pole vaulting?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Trust me, I tried pole vaulting. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it was fun. I loved it.
You got to write a book. You got to write a book, my man. I mean, you were a center, and they converted you to a I can see maybe a center converting you to a guard, maybe a tailback, maybe a fullback, but quarterback. And then you only played your senior year at San Jose State, and then you have this unbelievable resume that I'm looking at. Bravo. You definitely need to write a book and tell this story on perseverance and choice and chance in life.
You know, Mike, one thing I would say is obviously DeBerg is quite an athlete. All right, we'll just leave it at that. I mean, to do all that he's done, quite an athlete. Steve, I got a question for you. And I can't now remember what year it is and all that, but there was a game or a season that you were wearing like this crazy backpack, and it was almost like you were a Star Wars thing. Could you explain to us what exactly was that and why were you doing when you were doing it?
Yeah, so that was when I was with the San Francisco 49ers. And so in 1979 is when Bill Walsh came and Joe Montana came. And Montana played so little that that year I broke the all-time NFL record for the most completions in a season in the NFL history. And then, so now it's the second year. And you know, Joe was my best friend. He was my roommate. We just loved to compete against each other at everything. And so anyway, so it was he was still backing me up, but he, you know, they were playing him more. So we're playing the last preseason game against the Chargers. And I was going to play the first half. He's going to play the second. So it's the very end of the first half, and Bill Walsh calls a rollout to the right, and our tight end was detached, so it was just offensive tackle, and then the defensive end that I'm supposed to roll to, and the defensive end is about 5 yards outside the offensive tackle, and I audibled because I didn't think he's going to be able to get him as I'm running that way, and so I audibled. Second down, Bill Walsh calls the same play, and it's the same alignment, and so I audibled again. Third down, he calls the same play. I'm like, he thinks that my tackle can block him. And so, you know, he's smarter than I am, and so, okay, I'll let it go. So I let it go. Sure enough, the tackle couldn't block him. And what I don't know is Fred Dean is on the backside, and my left tackle whiffed him, and so I'm rolling out to the right. The defensive end on the right is running straight at me, clean, and so I pull up to just get rid of the ball, and I get rid of the ball, and as I get hit, he hits me from the front, and I don't know, another guy hits me from the back, and they both hit me in my neck, and I totally lost my voice. And so, yeah, it really didn't matter for that game because it was halftime right after that, and Montana played the second half. But so anyway, so I go to a specialist, and the specialist says, your vocal cords are severely injured, almost severed on one side. And the only way that you're going to be able to recover is to not talk at all for a month. And so I was like, you know, I got to yell over 75,000 people, you know. And so anyway, so we did practice for 2 days, and all I did was stand around and talk. So it's now Thursday before Sunday game. And so I walked into the training room or the equipment room and asked the equipment guy, you know, do you have a megaphone? And so, yeah, I got one back here somewhere. So he brings it to me. So I go out to practice, and I start whispering. I can only whisper. So I start whispering in this thing, and everybody can hear me. And so Bill Walsh started making phone calls, you know, in Silicon Valley in this 1980. And so they came up with this a speaker and an amplifier, and they put it on the back of my shoulder pads, and then they had a mouthpiece right in front of my lips, so I can only whisper, and then they had an off-on switch on my face mask. And the thing was three times as loud as a car stereo. It was like I could sing the national anthem. You know, everybody hear me. But anyway, so I played with that for 6 weeks. And, so that's that story.
You were a pioneer in the communication world in 1980. Yeah. You were one of the pioneers of the technology of today of talking to the coaches and the box. But that's a great story. You backed up some amazing Hall of Fame quarterbacks as well, and still had records of your own right. That's very impressive.
Well, Actually, although it took a Hall of Fame quarterback to beat me out, but Montana backed me up, and then he finally played, and then I got traded to Denver. I became a starter. Then Elway comes, you know, and I ended up playing a lot his rookie year, and then I got traded to Tampa. My second year in Tampa, Steve Young gets drafted number one from the supplemental draft from the USFL. And then my fourth year in Tampa, they traded Steve Young and signed Vinny Testaverde. So the beginning of my career, you know, I learned a lot from those guys, and it helped my game. But it was kind of a unique situation where there were so many, you know, really high level quarterbacks get drafted to my team. You know,
and then you go to Miami, and they got Dan Marino down there.
Yeah, well, he was hurt. Yeah, that was that's why they signed me, was because he blew out his Achilles that year. And then I left Tampa after Testaverde's rookie year. I went to Kansas City, and there was, you know, they didn't draft the next Joe Namath out of college, and so I had my career years really in Kansas City. And it was an interesting career.
Yeah, I was down at Arrowhead. I'm from Des Moines, Iowa, and I was at Arrowhead many times watching your success, and the fan base loved you. And then, of course, they bring Joe Montana in at the end of his career. Marty brought him in, and he was number 19. I remember that vividly. Yeah. I'm a big Notre Dame fan, so I follow Montana. And you were around him often.
Yeah. He's a great friend.
Hey, Steve, now, here's a question I have. Have you learned how to do the hula? With the many trips that you take out to Hawaii, you've got a very dear, one of your former teammates is out there, and I was just kind of curious if you've ever learned how to hula.
Yeah, no. Actually, I always go out there with Christian Okoye, who's a very special friend, no hula on. a lot of golf.
Christian Okoye is a good bodyguard to have around you as well, I'm sure, right, Steve?
Yeah, he looks like he can still play. You know, he's like 60 years old. He looks amazing.
Well, your there career you was amazing. I appreciate you taking time to join us. I know you want to get back to you said you've got three ladies there. My thoughts and prayers will be with you the rest of the weekend. As they plan your next few days, my man.
I just keep my mouth shut. Let them decide what we're doing, where we're going, where we're eating, everything.
It took me 65. It took me 65 years to figure that one out.
Hey Steve. Hey, when you get back, give me a call. Let's play some golf.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, buddy.
Steve, I appreciate you coming on board. I look forward to further conversations. Maybe when you get back here, we'll have you down here to Ferg's with Barry, and I'll buy you guys some beverages and some wings, and we can share stories and have a little fun. How about that?
That's great. I love it.
All right, sounds gentlemen. Good. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Steve DeBerg. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk a little high school with our Body Armor High School headquarters guru, and that, of course, is Brad Richardson. How cool is Steve DeBerg's career? My God.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
18 years, man.
Hey, and I have a soft spot. Any guy who played for Miami, especially with Dan Marino around, know my household, I gotta have a little bit of a little fanboy in me.
Exactly. Well, Steve DeBerg, in most cases, anytime he got an opportunity to start, you know, he set an NFL record. He was a success. He made the playoffs when he was with the Chiefs. Next thing you know, they pull Montana over. He was not one of those backups that just carries a clipboard. He actually had real game. And what an interesting story. He was a high school center, played 1 year at San Jose State. And I love stories like that.
Isn't that what they say, though, Mike? The backup quarterback's the best job in sports?
Oh, absolutely. Carrying, especially from a financial and getting beat up. All right, Brad, talking about beating up, there was a lot of action last night in high school. When you're on number two, there you go, on high school across Pinellas County, week number two.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, first of all, I just got to say that for all the teams that were affected with Hurricane Idalia, you know, my prayers and my thoughts go out to them right now. All the fans that always are going to go to these games, you know, it's just a tragedy what happened. And for all of them, I just want to wish them the best and keep going. So,
hey, we got to take a quick moment to pull Alex Reba in this conversation. He's live from Penn State. He just called in. Then we'll extend our conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Axeman, you up there in Happy Valley, my man?
I am here in Happy Valley, Mike. Good to hear you.
You too. Talk about the environment. Of course, they take on the West Virginia Mountaineers, two states that rival each other on the border, and you're absolutely in heaven, I'm certain.
It's 82 and sunny. There are Mountaineer fans sprawled across the campus. There's white as far as the eye can see, and it's a great day to have football back, college football. It's awesome. I can't wait for next year in Morgantown as well.
Let's talk about your Penn State Nittany Lions last night, watching Michigan State struggle in the first half and then pull away from the Chippewas of Central Michigan. Big Ten football alive and well, and three teams in the preseason top 10. Should be a great year, and your Penn State Nittany Lions should be the cream of the crop.
Absolutely. I mean, like always, we have championship aspirations, fallen short in the past few years, hoping this is the year we can plant ourselves past Michigan, past Ohio State, and it's going to rest on the shoulders of Drew Aller. We have great weapons around him this year. Obviously, we're hoping Nick Singleton takes a big step up, but, you know, it's a 20.5-point spread tonight, so West Virginia is going to be a good early season test, good atmosphere, but we need to look at this season as another championship potential, and hopefully we can get the job done in Happy Valley. It's Big Ten football is back. I mean, I'm sure you watched that Minnesota game the other night against Nebraska. Nebraska chokes away, of course, again. But either way, it's been an exciting start to the college football calendar.
Growing up 90 miles from Lincoln and being a Hawkeye fan, I loved every moment of it. Go Gophers. I'm sure I was thinking about this. You probably should just... You're young enough. You've had a little success already career-wise. Why don't you get your graduate degree so you can be right in the middle of this each and every week back at Penn State and life for living, champ, and then restart. Ben Botham's nodding his head because he did the same thing with his degree.
It's a great idea. I strongly recommend it.
I'm sure that thought's passed your mind once or twice, young man.
Well, it's hard not to get sucked back into the Happy Valley spirit once you're here, but... I mean, I'm just as committed to the Tampa Bay Rays, and hopefully they bring home the title this year. So can't pull me out of St. Pete either. You know, my heart's in two places.
All right. Well, I'm sure there's some coldies to be consumed. What time is kickoff?
I believe 7:30, 8 o'clock. You know, we got the inaugural NBC Sports Saturday night game, so it should be exciting.
Well, you fortunately you're not on ESPN. You wouldn't be seeing them down here in Spectrum Land. And if you have Spectrum, I'm just giving you a heads up when you return. You're not going to be happy.
Well, as long as you got NBC, you'll be seeing this one.
All right, my man. Well, thanks for the quick call. We like to diversify. We just had a nice conversation with Steve DeBerg, and now we're going to talk a little Yankees high school. And then we've got the Big Nasty from the Bucks going to be on in our final segment. So I'll talk to you when you return. We'll get our plans together for Big Monday, and that'll be Alex Reba and Oscar Garner III.
Can't wait. Thanks for having me on, Mike.
All right, my man.
Talk to you soon.
Let's get back to our high school conversation, and then we'll squeeze in Peter Gollenbach and the Big Nasty in our last half hour. You'll have a little baseball to talk. So let's go over last night and in the world of high school football here.
You know, just following a few things with high school last night, you know, just watching the scores come in, there were some close games, and then there were some surprises. I mean, first of all, let's go back to Thursday, because we did have a Thursday night game. It was Palm Harbor versus St. Pete High. I mean, that game, close game, final score 34-33, Palm Harbor. They did this game in double overtime, Mike, double overtime. And basically, score would go back and forth before halftime as PHU would lead 10-6 at the end of regulation. The game would be tied 20-20. Now, this is how Palm Harbor won this game. Okay, in double overtime, they had the extra point, all right? And with St. Pete, it was the snapper and the placer who messed that up, and the PAT was no good. That's what happened. It would have been just an absolute ups. It would have been going and going for a lot longer, but yeah, those that's what happened with that game. So it was a big upset for St. Pete High. Now, one thing I just want to mention real quick, there were canceled games, obviously, on Thursday, Seminole versus Tarpon Springs. We're waiting right now to be for that game to be rescheduled. I've been reaching out to try to see if there was any notice. Nothing yet. Here's a shocker. This is according to Max Preps, by the way. Countryside versus River Ridge. Countryside forfeited, giving River Ridge the win. I think a lot of that has to do with distance and getting the teams over there. Do realize there's a lot of buses that go into that. St. Pete Catholic versus Santa Fe Catholic. We're waiting on that one, and hopefully we'll know soon. A lot of it is just trying to figure out just transport and all.
Logistics. Yep.
Sorry about that. A little windy today. All right. Now, Friday night games. Some of them I just want to go over real quick. Gibbs versus St. Augustine was canceled. Again, logistics. Gainesville Christian versus Canterbury canceled. Now, here's some good news. Calvary Christian versus St. John Paul II. They will play tonight at 7 p.m. So next week, we will know how that's going to go down. Now, I want to go to our top three games for this week. These were the ones I was really looking forward to seeing. Lakewood versus Miami Palmetto. Now, see, after Lakewood took the loss to Northeast, they had a lot of ground to make up. Their quarterback, Nick Trier, this is his time to shine. I mean, after the Northeast game, he has to step up his game. Palmetto, Miami Palmetto being strong. They started off with a 13-12 lead over Homestead. This is their opening game. Miami Palmetto is one of those tough teams, and they were able to do a great win over Homestead. All right. Now going into it, this game, Lakewood had the lead over Palmetto for the first two quarters, score being 12-7 in Lakewood's favor going into halftime. But then what happened was, is Palmetto caught up 19-12 going into the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, Lakewood wasn't able to come back. They weren't able to have that magic. And what happened was final score being 26-12 as Palmetto took the win. Lakewood will be on the road. Get this. They will be on the road playing Homestead next week. So that's going to be another tough game for Lakewood. They've got to step up their game. And so now next game up is the Northeast Vikings versus Clearwater Tornadoes. Northeast, of course, was on my radar. I mean, they beat Lakewood. It's still a shock to me that they did it. Their quarterback, Northeast quarterback Trey Worley, he showed with that game he was ready. He was ready to play with the big boys. So, but anyway, Northeast controlled the first half of the game. Vikings were 12-0 going into halftime. This game was tied 15-15 and was sent in overtime. Another overtime game that did happen. Northeast would not be able to outlast the Clearwater Tornadoes as a touchdown would separate them from the final win. Final score 21-18 as Clearwater will take the win. Vikings will be on the road facing Gibbs. And Clearwater will be on the road facing their own big county competitor, the Countryside Cougars. Another big game. Just want to mention the scores real quick. Lakeland Dreadnoughts versus the Largo Packers, 28-0 final score at that. Another honorable mention with the games would be East Lake Eagles versus Mitchell Mustangs. Final score, 24-16. Other teams in the county, Hollins Royals versus Moorhaven Terriers. Final score 30-0 in favor of Moorhaven. But unfortunately, that game was canceled due to weather as well. Osceola versus Dunedin. Final score 49-0. Osceola takes the win. Bishop McLaughlin versus Keswick Christian. Final score 36-18. Bishop McLaughlin takes that win. Indian Rocks Christian versus Sefner Christian. 46-7. Final score. The Eagles take the win on that one. Northside Christian versus St. Stephens. Final score 24-7. Northside gets their second win under their time. And finally,
I actually live right there and I could hear the game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you could hear the excitement and all that. So congratulations to Northside Christian getting their second win in the new regime. Final score for Shorecrest Prep versus Lakeside Christian. A little 7-on-7 football there. Final score 54-6. Shorecrest Prep gets their second win of the season so far.
And how about Lakewood starting out 0-2 for this season?
It is a shock. I mentioned this last week. You know, Corey Moore, he's looking for his next Anthony Calandria. I mean, their quarterback, you know, this guy, the quarterback they have right now, Terrier, he is being looked at UNC. This is not a good start for this kid. I mean, he's really got to step up. The games have been competitive, but he's really got to show he is the leader out there on that field.
And I felt sorry for Sean Davis. I talked to him several times this week. And, of course, after that victory, and they were ahead 12-0 in their game. Mm-hmm. And I thought that they would go 2-0. And then who I really felt sorry for was a good friend of mine now is Marcus Pascal, yep. Played at Iowa. It was his birthday the day before.
Happy birthday, Marcus.
And they got shut out last night, and that was a tough loss for them.
Absolutely. Well. I mean, well, you look at Lakeland.
It's only week two.
Yeah, well, it's only week two, but also, too, think about this. They were playing Lakeland. They won the state championship last year. They were playing one of the top teams in the state of Florida. So Largo definitely had some competition on them.
And they arguably had the best linebacker in. Yep. State.
Absolutely. Right. Oh, hey, Mike, did you get a quick shout out to our player of the week that we just started?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor and Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And we are going to have a wall with all these young kids. Pictures, student athletes of the week.
Okay, so this is our player from last week and all that. Let's just Deontay Williams, congratulations. You are the player of the week for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Big thing on him. He returned the interception for a touchdown that turned into the winning score for Lakewood. This was the big upset, obviously, for Lakewood in their first week. Final score 10-6 as Northeast took that win. So congratulations to Deontay Williams for that. You are the player of the week.
Bravo for that young man. All right, bravo for this gentleman coming down and joining us. So we're going to talk a little baseball, Ben Botham. And, of course, he's Peter Gollenbach, a regular contributor to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I appreciate you taking time. Congratulations on your trivia win on Thursday night. I saw the post, and I see that you guys came away with a victory. Hold that a little closer to you. There we go.
How's that?
Perfect.
Okay.
What, that hat looks great on you.
It's a Sports Connection hat.
Exactly. So let's talk about where the Rays are right now. We're in the playoffs. Did you got his mic turned on properly?
Yeah, there you go. All right, where are the Rays? Well, when the season began, you would look at the starting lineup of this team and you would go, aside from Rosarena, who are these people? I never heard of any of these people, not any of them. Who's Yandy Diaz? Who's Paredes? Who's this guy Rayleigh? Who's Siri? Who are these guys? And you figure, okay, the Rays will finish 65 wins with these guys. Who nobody else wanted. Houston didn't want series. Somebody didn't want Paredes. Nobody wanted these guys. Let me tell you something. Whoever is picking these players should be the general manager of the century. It's absolutely unbelievable. You got Yandy Diaz in the first position. The guy's leading the league in hitting. He's hitting .324. And you know what's amazing about him in the first position? He has zero steals. Zero. In the first position, that's the guy who's supposed to do all the steals and get to second base for everybody else. He's the first guy. He's got 17 home runs. He's got 66 RBIs. That's unbelievable. You got a guy, Josh Lowe. He wasn't even supposed to make the team. He made the team because somebody got hurt. And what's he done? He's hitting .284. He's got 18 home runs. He's got 71 RBIs. And he's got 26 steals. Who is this guy? It's unbelievable.
Do you think this is a case of chemistry as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cash. Everybody screams at Cash because he's the most mild-mannered, easygoing guy. But I have, we all knew Dick Williams, and we knew Billy Martin, and we knew Earl Weaver, who would, scream at their players and they were just...
He almost has a Joe Torre style, a little bit.
Very much like Torre, though people knew how tough Torre was. When Torre wanted to be tough, he was as tough as anybody.
Ben's got an opinion about the Yankees and Rays series regarding toughness.
I was really hoping Kevin Cash would show some of that same fiery energy. I know it's, you know, maybe one of those hits was probably not intentional.
No.
But you have to look at the whole season. Our guys are getting hit 12 times. We've hit them twice.
Whether or not
it's intentional or not, as you as a manager, you have to be fired up. You have to say something. You can't come out in the press conference and say, oh, you know, it is what it is. They didn't mean to hit it. No, you got to be fiery. You got to do something.
If Billy Martin had been managing the Rays team this year,
there would have been a murder.
Would have hit the next guy in the freaking head.
Yep. Hey, I was saying this earlier on the show. I didn't think that we should have hit the guy on the last batter of the game. We got two outs. It's a team we're never facing again the rest of the season. They're not making it to the playoffs. But I'm telling you what, next season, first game, I'm putting a starter out there. Some relief pitcher, or an opener, as they call it now. I'd put an opener out there as hard as I could. I'd hit that first batter. I don't care what happens next. Because you have to send a message. You have to show that you're a manager who's willing to stand up for your guys, willing to get the job done, and play some stinking baseball. Enough with this, you know, we're kind of dancing around. Oh, we don't want to hurt people. Everyone's worth too much money. No, forget about that.
We got both teams emptying out on the field. And what does Siri do? He runs out in the field and hugs one of the other players on the other team.
Well, he was preventing stuff from going on, which I'm very happy he did that, because Siri could have gone out there and tackled the guy and clobbered him with a good old Donnybrook going out there. I'm just happy Randy Arozarena didn't do anything.
Well, what's your perspective the rest of the season?
I'm not betting against these guys. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. We lost all those starting pitchers, and who's starting for us now beside Glasnow? Some guy named Elflin? Who the hell is Elflin? We got him from Philadelphia, and he turns out to be the guy leading the league in wins, leading the entire American League in wins.
Having a career season.
And you got Savali. I don't know why Cleveland gave him up. This guy's spectacular. And you got some guy named Littell who came out of freaking nowhere, who's starting. He was a guy who pitched two innings, three innings. Now he's pitching six innings, seven innings. He's pitching great. I'm not betting against these guys.
And what I love about it is when you do the payroll comparisons with the Yankees, and you're a Yankee fan. I was a Yankee fan. I'll be in New York City next week. We'll talk about that.
Right now, Yankees right now haven't
the Yankees. The Yankees
been in this much trouble since the era between George Steinbrenner got thrown out of baseball.
1982.
Before that, 1975, got thrown out for Richard Nixon giving illegal contributions to Richard Nixon's campaign. And then later he got suspended for 2 years for giving money for a guy who was giving him bad information on Dave Winfield. So in those 20 years, the Yankees didn't do squat. People seem to forget that. They remember the years when the Yankees won in the 70s and when they won in the 90s and 2000. Prior to that, or between that, they didn't win anything.
But,
and now you've got a team that hasn't won since 2009.
This is the first time that the Yankees haven't won a World Series in a decade, correct? Every decade they've won a World Series.
2009 was the last
exactly.
time they won.
They had done it their entire franchise history. Yep. Every decade they had won a World
Series. And not only that, but they're so terrible that the Yankees last week dumped two of their starters. Dumped two of their starters, Bader and the outfielder who they paid millions for.
He's Peter Gallenbach, accomplished writer. Of course, he wrote the great book, The Bronx Zoo, along with, what, 35, 40 other books in your storied career, my friend?
Yeah, about
Number seven, about the Mickey Mantle story.
Yeah,
you did the history of the Cardinals. You did the Chicago Cubs.
Wrigleyville.
Here
to St. Louis dynasty. Amazing about the Mets.
Anything in the works right now?
Yeah,
you need to do a story on the Tampa Bay Rays.
I tried doing a story on the Tampa Bay Rays. I had a contract with Joe Madden to do a book with Madden, and the Rays said no. We don't want to give away any of our secrets, and they squashed it.
Well, when they start failing, you can approach them again.
I don't want them to fail. I'm very happy that they're doing what they're doing. I have a book out right now, Whispers of the Gods, it's called. interviews I did with Ted Williams and Stan Musial and all sorts of other really, really interesting players. You can get that on Amazon or at Tombala Books, local bookstore. And I've got a book coming out next March called what am I calling it? Baseball Heaven.
Baseball
Heaven. Yes, these are the most interesting interviews I've done over the last 40 some odd years. Yep.
Are you ever going to slow down your projects? Bravo. I mean, you just keep on keeping on.
I've never worked a day in my life.
Because you love it that much. God. That's how I feel about this microphone in front of me. Well, I wanted you and Wendy to get lunch on me.
We're going to have a wonderful lunch.
And then
yes, we're here at Ferg's, most wonderful place in the world. This is the restaurant that made the Tampa Bay Rays famous.
and I want you to keep that hat because you're an accomplished man walking down the streets of St. Pete and let us know that we appreciate any time you stop by
to have a conversation. I appreciate you all too. It's so exciting to hear about these high school football games. It's just football, high school football in this Pinellas County is so marvelous.
Oh, it certainly is.
Just terrific.
And we want to be the leader with our friends at Body Armor. You know who we're going to have on the line right now? You might want to stick around listening. He's been kind enough to hold. And he is famous across the area, all of Champa Bay. And he is the Big Nasty. Keith Coons is kind enough to join us. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. I bet you're this time of year you start jonesing a little bit because you were you were so accustomed to getting ready to fire the crowds up, and now you're kind of a bystander. Give us your layman's perspective of the Bucks this year and not being there and creating such energy and excitement. And you were blessed to have a Super Bowl when you were in the midst of it with the fans. You became the face of the Bucks and you're an icon in Champa Bay.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for those nice thoughts. I can tell you, after 35 years, we obviously retired Big Nasty last year and we went out with a huge bang. It was a great time. The Buccaneers were unbelievable to me. And, I'm looking forward to going to the games with flip-flops and a visor and a cold beer. So very excited about the season. A lot of people think, okay, after Brady, where are we at with this? But, it's kind of neat because, whether it's, Baker Mayfield or Trask, I don't think there's much of a fall-off either way. And you don't need an expert, or I guess you could say a legend, to earn a Super Bowl. We did have Brad Johnson came to town, and he got us to a Super Bowl, the first one, and then blessed to have the what I call the bucket list of a lifetime to win a Super Bowl at home and having my daughter by my side. I'll never forget that. That's definitely a bucket list I'll never forget.
Well, our good friend Barry Smith was just kind enough. Also, at the top of the hour, we had Steve DeBerg on, and he had two stints with the Bucks, and great conversation. And his career was amazing. Let's talk about your side career. What inspired you to create the Big Nasty? And did you grow up in the area? You've been a lifelong Bucks fan. Share a little of your bio with our audience, if you would.
Well, to give you an idea, everybody looks like, oh, how the heck did you even get the nickname Big Nasty? It sounds intimidating, but I can assure you, everybody out there, it's more of a big, nice guy. Obviously, after 35 years, when we first started this, we had no inclination whatsoever of becoming a two-time Hall of Famer. But what we did was my brother had broke up with his girlfriend, and we were already Buck fans, and I said, let's do something different. It was the Battle of the Pigs, two worst teams in the NFL, Packers and Bucks. And I said, let's paint up. So we ended up painting up for the game. We ended up winning that game, and me and my brother tied one on, and I cheered him up. And let's face it, that's what football is all about. It's family football and faith. That's what brings everything together. And from that day on, we noticed there was a a different enthusiasm of the crowd because, you know, let's face it, back then people wore bags over their heads, you know, and, you know, I can remember it yesterday, the Yucks, right? It wasn't the Bucks, it was the Yucks. And there was no face painters back then. But I can assure you, after numerous times, we just would do it for the Packer-Bucks game when we were in the old Norris division. And then in 2001, I ended up getting blessed to be inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a Buccaneer fan representative the first time. And then it's been all she wrote. You know, I met some of these legendary fans like the Hoggetts, Big Dog from Cleveland, and they taught me the charitable side, the business side, as well as not just the love for our team, but what you can do with, I guess you could say, the 5 minute worth of fame.
Well, our friend Barry Smith, of course, he played for the Packers and the Bucks, and I'm a diehard Packer fan. And God, I don't even like to think about those days. I remember, of course, the cream colored jerseys joining our division. But I don't like to think about the doomsday of the Packers. We may see them again, but that's interesting that you only did it for the Packers and Bucks games.
Well, I can tell you, I've been blessed to meet Barry, and anytime you meet an inaugural, what I call the original Bucko Bruce days, that was definitely an honor for me. What a super gentleman. Let's face it, we were even talking about the Steve Spurrier and my all-time favorite Buck, Mark Cotney, and he was saying he just had lunch with him the other day, and that's what I grew up with. You know, I grew up with that connection with Mark Cotney, Scott Brantley, Leroy Selman, Jimmy Giles, Doug Williams. You know, it wasn't the today Tom Brady, the Gronk, where I call short stints, but they still brought us the Super Bowl, and I'm definitely thankful for that. Yeah, definitely been blessed to be a Buck fan, that's for sure. After going 0-26, I guess there's not many fans that could say they've been around there that long.
Well, Mark Ferguson, my good buddy down here that owns Fergs, one of his prized pictures, and he's met everybody in the world of sport that's come up into Champa Bay. He and a bunch of his young buddies were at the first win, and there's a picture of them bum rushing the field, and Mark's at the forefront. And it was in the Tampa Bay Times, and that's one of his favorite pictures of all the sports paraphernalia, and you were there as well. And, you know, I've got three young guys sitting in front of me, part of my team, and they all grew up. They're 18, 25, or early 30s. They grew up with you as the mascot. Everybody knows you. That's a young fan in today's world, and it certainly is it's got to be fun, but they don't recognize you when you're walking the streets, you know. So it's an interesting dynamic.
Well, it's funny. After 35 years, I guess I call it the Clark Kent Superman. It's out. Everybody knows what I look like, and it's funny. My wife notices that stuff more than I do, where you'll get the whispers as you walk by. Kind of makes you feel like Bon Jovi a little bit, but all in all, it's all about having good fun. But like you said, you know, the 18-year-olds, the 20-year-olds that grew up and they recognize the Big Nasty. I tell you what, after 35 years, you get people that, you know, not just come to the game, goes, I remember when I was a kid, and then they're bringing their kids. And I've actually seen three generations of fans, which is really super cool. Let's face it, you know, it's an honor to represent Buck Nation the way I have. Do I miss it? Yes and no. Believe me, wearing that garb on the home openers when it's like 130 degrees on the field, it can be boiling. A lot of people don't realize for me it's a participating sport because I'm like full octane energy going from the start to the finish, and we don't leave to the last second winner. We're winning or losing. So, and that'll still continue. I don't know how I'm going to keep my composure. But there's a lot of young guys out there that could take the realm now as far as Buck fans, because I can remember back in the day, you know, there was 45,000. That was it. and there was no such thing as Buck Nation. It was Buck Florida, actually Buck Tampa Bay. And now look at us. Now Buck Nation is not just in the U.S., but across overseas in Germany and London. I mean, you're talking huge fan base now, which makes my heart glad. It really does, because let's face it, man. Yeah, everybody talks about the Browns, but I look at us, man. You know, when you could go 0-26 and then win two Super Bowls, let's face it, we are undefeated in Super Bowls. It's pretty awesome.
You know, I have a quick question. I got to know, how long does it take to apply that makeup? How long during game day? How long does it take?
Well, it's funny. If you started out at the beginning, I remember we used to have a face painter lady come out to the house to paint me and my brother. But then it got too expensive, and my wife didn't want to get up at 5 a.m. anymore. So it was like, okay, learn how to do it. So I got it down to an hour to put it on, but 5 minutes to get it the hell off. You know, a wet wipe and a scrub sponge does wonders.
Oh, my gosh. Well, a lot of emotion and equity, sweat equity, obviously, into your passion. And I applaud you for your commitment. And you're a Hall of Famer, brother.
Yeah, it's pretty special. It really is. I don't know. Sometimes I still, like, you got to pinch me to believe it. But, you know, every time I go up to Canton and I see that bronze plaque, or I'll see somebody put a post on Facebook with their picture next to the plaque, it's definitely a humbling honor. But again, you know, I never looked at myself as anything bigger than any other Buck fan. You know, we all love our Bucks, and let's just hope and pray we can get back to the playoffs, win the South Division, and hey, once you're in the dance, you never know what the hell can happen.
Yeah, this is Ben Botham, by the way. I got to ask you real quick. Is there you and the super fans, is there a group chat between all y'all? I know that there's Chiefaholics, there's some drama going on with him. Is there a group chat for all you super fans out there that are working together and really bringing the energy to the NFL?
Yeah, there's a couple different, you know, obviously whether it's the local tailgate or whether it's Professional Football's Ultimate Fans Association, which is pfufa.org. That was organized after the first Hall of Fans from Visa back in 1999, when Walter Payton was the initiated player that got it all started. So it was pretty special with that group. You know, they're all about charity. They're all about, you know, fellowship with the fans. You know, this way when you go out of town and you go to a trip, hey, you don't have to worry about the riprap.
Keith, I hate to... We'll get you on again. I'd like to get you down here with you and Barry and buy you some beverages, have a bite, and have a little fun and share some stories. We're up against it. You made this a great show as we wind things down on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Thanks very much, my man.
No problem, man. God bless and go Bucks.
You too. So for Rowdy Soccer, Jim Hart, Dave Wilson, Adrian Bush, Brad Richardson, the Big Nasty, Barry Smith, Joe Boudreau, what a show. Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening. Peter Gollenbach, thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.